You know, we started this series last week and we really said, you know, sometimes we really need a fresh start. We really need this opportunity to start over. And I was thinking about it when I was a little kid. You know, we would play a game outside and somebody would mess up or they wouldn't hit the ball right or whatever. And we'd say, hey, I want a do-over, right? Or to bring it into the video game age, listen, there are times when you need to just hit that reset button, right? Everything just didn't go the way you had planned, right? And so if you want to hit the menu, go back and do restart. Let's go back from the best place that I ever was and let's start from there. And I think that is kind of what we're talking about when we are going into this idea of a fresh start, is that some of us have this place where we have a very good memory of the things that were good in our life. Maybe it was that moment where you first came to know Jesus. And it's that moment that you go back to, and that's why certain songs matter so much to you. That's why you go back to, this is my preference for this type of worship songs in a service, because it harkens back to that time where God was very real, and God very much touched your heart and told, and you responded through faith in Christ. And as we think about all of these things that have a beginning, it's relationships. It's our school. You know, some of us have just sent off our kids, and we sent off our son to his first year of college, and it made me feel old. But some of you are sending your kids into their first year of school, period. And you're looking at it going, there's a wide future ahead, or you know what, it's been a while since you've had a first. It's that first day of school, that first day at a job. What about that first day of retirement? Anyone have one of those? I'm not sure if I know what that's going to be like. But everything has a starting point, and our faith is no different. So last week, what we did was we left you with a question to consider for the whole of the week, and that question was simply, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And this, I told you, is probably the most important question you can ever ask in all of your life. It's the most important question that matters not only in this life, but if you're a Christian, you understand this, but in the life to come. So what we're going to answer today is, why does this question matter? Why is it that we have to answer this question, who is Jesus? It's because it matters, because of this simple fact. Apart from Jesus, we are spiritually dead. Apart from Jesus, we have no spiritual life. Every single one of us begin in the exact same place. Everyone, regardless of age, regardless of situation, regardless of geography, everyone begins in the very same place, dead in our sins, alienated from God. In fact, if you read the scriptures, when you do not have Christ in your heart, when you are not a Christian, when you're not a follower of Jesus, you are in fact an enemy of God. And I don't know if any of you really want to be an enemy of God. But the short of it is this, is that we are sinful people. We are all sinful people. Now, that's not the message that we get from the world. Is that true? In fact, in the world today, we hear all kinds of things about our goodness, about the way that we are great people, and we find ourselves kind of struggling in this idea, if I am a good person in the world's standards, but I hear from the scriptures that I started in this place where I am not good, that I'm sinful, then how do I make that work? Because we hear we're basically good. And I want to say to that, yes, absolutely, people can do good things. In fact, you don't need a relationship with Jesus to do something good. You don't need a relationship with Jesus to give to a charity. You don't need a relationship with Jesus to do some amazing social work. You don't need a relationship with Jesus to make art, to make money, to play a sport, to give to a charity. So what is it then? Why is it that we talk about as people, we are dead in our sin? We are people that are removed from God. In the reality of all of this, we understand that we are spiritually dead, that we are separated from God, that we are not connected to the vine. Paul described this situation in several different ways, but the way that he described it in the church of Ephesus is what we're going to look at this morning. So if you want to turn in your Bible, if you want to change your Bible is what I was going to say, which that doesn't work. If you want to turn in your Bible to chapter 2 of Ephesians, that's where we're going to camp out. You're going to have to put your finger there, keep your place there, because we're going to jump out of there and in there. So listen, what we understand and what Paul tells us that we are not in good shape. We are morally not morally good. In fact, we aren't even morally neutral. We're not even in a spot where we can say, I'm kind of good. Okay, we are totally spiritually dead, and we need what only God can do. We need a miracle that only God can do, because we are disobedient. We're disobedient, and instead of following the things of God, we follow the things all around us. The things of this world, the things that we have no other interest in, because we're honestly, to be truthful, we're just a bunch of followers. You don't believe me? How many of you who grew up in a certain decade wore certain types of clothes? How many of you still wear those clothes? Right? How many of you followed the latest fad only to have that fad, that gadget, end up in a garage sale? Right? How many of you followed, this will age some people, how many of you followed and dreamt about the latest boy band? NSYNC? Oh, New Kids on the Block? But here's the thing. We're all a bunch of followers because we move towards things that everyone enjoys or that everyone says are important. We follow celebrities. In fact, we even have developed some things in our lives that help us to be better followers. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, every one of those social platforms help us to be better followers of whomever, whatever we choose to follow. So Paul says that we were once dead. We were once dead in our state. We were once dead in where we walked. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, he says, you were once walked in death, following the course of this world. That you were being controlled by the very things that run contrary to God. That you were following things that run contrary to God's kingdom. He continues, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. This is really uplifting, right, this morning? But what does it mean when Paul says that we are people that were following the spirit of disobedience? It means that we have the same attitudes, the same habits, the same lifestyles of the culture that's around. Now, when Paul was writing to the culture, you think back and you look in that context, Paul was writing to these people that lived in the height of debauchery, the height of moving away from God, following their own pleasures, their own things that they wanted to hold to a higher standard, to a higher degree in their life, because it meant that they could indulge. They could be so much invested in the things that made them feel good. Now, I'm thankful that we don't live in a world like that anymore. But Paul also wrote about this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, chapter 3, verse 1, he says, but understand this. So smart. But understand this, in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self. People will be lovers of money. People will be proud and arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. It's not done. Heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. He's not done. Treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then he just turns the screws a little bit. He says, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. We could spend an entire morning talking about this scripture. What Paul was describing to Timothy was this cultural Christian way of living. Someone who says they follow Jesus, they have the appearance of godliness. People who say they're a Christian, but don't behave like one. The interesting thing about this is you can be this way in the church and people see that and they don't really get it because they don't see you outside the church. But I'll tell you, people that aren't Christians see Christians that behave this way and automatically see that there's a problem. The problem is that sometimes we start to follow God, but it never becomes something that is practice. We have an idea that we know that what the scripture has to say is true, but we don't follow it. We're not being led by the Holy Spirit, and we aren't being transformed from the inside out. As Paul described in his letter to the church in Galatia, chapter 5, verse 16, he says, "But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit, well, they're against the flesh. For these things are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do." But he says in verse 18, "But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now, as we gather all that together and we understand that Paul is telling us, listen, there's a war going on. You may not realize it, but I know that you feel it. I know that you see a world that tells you one thing and you hear a voice from coming inside those that follow Christ that say there is something different that you need to ascribe to. There's a tension, and some of you feel it in your heart. Some of you feel it in your workplace. Some of you feel it as you walk outside of your home, engage culture, you go to the store, you turn on the TV. And we find ourselves in this place where there's something at war. Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 3, that we all once lived just doing whatever we wanted, consumed, living in the passions of our flesh. Paul said in Romans 8:8 that there's no one in the flesh that can please God. And so I'm wondering, as we kind of build this up and we start talking, and as we're talking about the sinfulness, this place where we are following something other than God, are we getting just a little bit carried away? Do we get a little carried away when we start talking about you need to be different as a Christian? Are we getting carried away? Paul says that we continue to carry out the desires of our body and the mind. Are we really then as bad as Paul says? In a word, yes. And don't be offended by this, because this is truth. Apart from God, this is where we are. our behavior is explained by three influences in our life. The world, that's culture. Satan, the prince of the air, right? And our own selfish desires. What Paul calls the flesh. But the outlook then is not good. So as we jump back into verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 2, he says, and we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We're rightly under judgment by God. But this is the turning point. You ready for it to turn? Me too. Okay. But there is some really, 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 really good news. And if you've checked out because you heard all the bad stuff, here's the good news. You ready? Jesus bore God's wrath for you. Jesus bore the wrath of God so that you wouldn't have to, because you couldn't do it anyway. He drank in the wrath of God so that we can drink in the grace of Christ. Paul then highlights the depths of our sin. He highlights the depths of our sin to magnify the mercy of God. He says, listen, if you don't know where you were, you're never going to appreciate what Christ has done in you, for you. And Paul brings in some of the sweetest words of the Bible. He says, But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, God is rich in mercy. He is rich in mercy, and he shows great love. And you likely have heard it this way from Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, even when we were dead in the things that have pulled us, weighted us down, he made us alive together with Christ. You guys, this is amazing grace. This is being made alive while we are dead. This is the undeserved favor of God. Paul says it's by grace you have been saved. It is by grace that you have been saved. Christianity is about becoming a brand new person. Christianity is about walking away from those three things that we had identified. Walking away from the culture that surrounds us. Walking away from the influence of Satan in our lives. And walking away from those selfish desires that we continue to have crop up. Those selfish desires that put us in places that we don't want to be. Doing things that we know we shouldn't be doing. Believing something that we say is going to be okay. Christianity is about becoming a new person. It's not about becoming a nicer person. It's not about just being able to somebody say, oh, look, they're so nice. They must go to church. It's not about being a person with a brand new routine, because let's face it, we can develop a brand new routine that involves step 1, 2, and 3 and never truly change on the inside. See, being a Christian is about being renewed. It's about bringing up a new life in Christ. It's about being transformed into a new person, into the image of Christ. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone has placed their faith in Christ, if anyone believes in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And you know what this tells me? It tells me that there is no one that is beyond the reach of Christ. There is no one beyond the grace of God. There is no one beyond the reach of God's grace. And if that doesn't make you excited, if that doesn't make you have hope, maybe you don't understand. Maybe you don't understand where you stand before God without Christ. He says, behold, the new has come, and raised us up with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means for all eternity, those who are in Christ will be recipients of his grace. We will be the trophies of his grace, and that we will share in the very same resurrection. Because I don't know how this works, but in some amazing way, when God raised Jesus from the dead, over 2,000 years ago, we as Christians were raised with him. Those who are in Christ share in the resurrection. You were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised, that's Jesus, him from the dead, so that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable. Can you measure immeasurable? No. Can you quantify immeasurable? Can you count to eternity? No, none of us can, unless you're Chuck Norris. Boo. So in the coming ages, that he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. We are given grace forever. It never runs out. We're given grace every single day. How many of you messed up yesterday? It's okay. Yeah, good, good, because I didn't want to be alone. Okay. We get his grace every single day. God showed us grace so that there would be a demonstration of his grace forever. In Christ, there's a demonstration of the grace of God from now until all eternity. God says basically this: look what I can do with a mess. Look what I can do with a mess. I'm a mess. Because instead of God's wrath, which I deserve, we get grace for all eternity. Verse 8, he says, for by grace you have been saved through what? Through faith. And it's not because you kept the rules. It's not because you have perfect Sunday school attendance. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not your doing. It is the gift of God. And he says, it's not a result of works, so that no one can boast. Paul says it's a gift. It's not of your doing. Paul says, listen, if you don't get it, he says, listen, you were dead in your sin. You went from being dead in sin to alive together with Christ. There's a movement from death to life. He said you went from being disobedient sons to being raised up with Christ. You go from being an enemy of God to being a child of God. You go from being a child of wrath to being a recipient of great mercy, of great love, of rich grace, of God's kindness, to being a trophy of God's grace. Paul said that grace comes through faith. And this is the human response to belief. Faith is how we claim the gift of Jesus. Faith is how we claim that gift that is given to us through Christ. It's not our work. Faith is a gift. Salvation is a gift. That way, do you know why? Because sometimes I like to boast. I don't know about you, but sometimes I do. See, God, in his grace, sent Jesus to live the life we could not live, to die the death that we should have died, and to rise on our behalf. God raised Jesus and us with him. God in Jesus seated us in heaven. God through Jesus will dispense on you grace forever and ever and ever. But this glory goes only to God in salvation. And the result of it is what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Some translations say, for we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ. How do you become the masterpiece of God? By being in Christ. Created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Something very important to understand about the works is that works are not the root of our salvation. They are the fruit of our salvation. Works are not what gets you saved. They are the evidence that you are. Your obedience is not what gets you saved. It is the evidence that you are. Your worship to God is not the way that you get saved. It is the evidence that you are. We were made to follow Jesus. And following Jesus, that is obeying his command, do you know what it does in your life? It bears fruit. Obeying Jesus always bears fruit. It says in John 15:8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Jesus said, listen, this is how you're going to glorify God. It's by bearing fruit. You're going to show glory to God by bearing fruit. So now that we belong to God, God is working on us. And God is working in us. So that he may work through us. That's why we do church. That's why we come on Sundays. That's why we come on Wednesdays. We volunteer in the various areas that we do. Because we belong to God, and God is doing something in us so that he can work through us. We, if we belong to Jesus, are God's masterpiece. And as we follow Jesus, we display the glory of Christ to all. So the option that we really truly have as Christians is to simply follow Jesus. Today is that day. If you have not followed Christ, today is that day that you may hear very clearly that God created you to be with him. Very clearly that in Christ, God will transform you into a masterpiece. That you will hear very clearly that without Christ, you are separated from God for all eternity. And you will bear the full wrath of God for those sins in your life. Those things that separate you from God. Today is the day that we can accept the gift of salvation. We remember very simply, probably one of the first verses that many of you learned. It was John 3:16, and it says this, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And anyone who believes in him will not die, but will have eternal life. God loved that we have a God that created the world that loved us, that loves us so much that he wants a relationship with us. God loves us, but we have that problem of sin between us and God. We have that problem of not being obedient children. Anyone ever been a disobedient child? Those that didn't raise your hand, you're lying. Okay? We have all been disobedient children. But God loves us so much that he didn't want to leave us in that spot. He didn't want to leave us eternally separated from him. So he gave us a gift. He gave his one and only son. So that anyone, some translations say, whosoever, right? In fact, there's a song about it, right? Whosoever surely meaneth me. Whosoever. That means who? Anyone. Anyone that trusts, that believes in him. They're not going to have eternal death, but instead, they will have eternal life. And through some mystery of the way that God is, that eternity starts. It begins the very moment that you place faith in Christ. Your eternity changes that very moment that you say, yes, I believe that Jesus is the substitute for me, that he paid the price of my sin debt so that I can be with God forever. I don't know who needs to hear that today, but I know there's someone that does. And in a moment, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. Now, I'm going to tell you right off the bat that this prayer that we're going to pray doesn't save you, okay? There's no magic prayer that saves you. Instead, it is the state of your heart. It is the condition of your belief that you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and that he came to do exactly what he said he would do. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, we get to share in life. Not just later, but now in life that is rich and full for all eternity. If you want to claim that free gift of Jesus, I want to invite you just in a moment to pray with me, because you can have faith in Christ. You can begin to experience the riches of Christ and no longer be separated, starting right now. Would you pray with me?